With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. And for this first bit of the show, you join us here at Surrey Street, the home of Glossop North End. We're here for Manchester Premier Cup action. Later in the show, we're going to be discussing the Premier Division. We've got a fixture preview with Andrew Snay from Whitby Town Radio. And we've got loads of post-match reaction and pre-match interviews as well for this weekend's matches in the league. But we're here at Surrey Street, and I'm joined by a very special guest for this opening 10 minutes or so. Mr. Roy Sewell is here. Roy, how are you?
I'm fine, Ben. Yeah, good
now,
evening.
Now, Roy's a very special guest here at Glossop North End, because the floodlights have been unveiled. The brand new floodlights. And they look lovely, don't they, Roy?
They certainly do, yeah. It's,
and why am I talking to you about floodlights? What do you have to do with Glossop North End and floodlights, Roy?
Well, I put the original ones up with all the players. I can't remember when it was, about 1988. So
1988?
Something like that, yeah, I think. I'm not too sure.
Sorry to make you feel old.
Yeah.
I was five in 1988.
Was you?
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, but you played Oldham.
We did, yeah.
And with Joe Royal's Oldham as well.
It was.
It feels like the next step across at North End now, not just for the floodlights, but they've solidified themselves at step four now, it feels like, and ready to go on, I think.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. Thing is, like, you know, at the end of the day, it takes a long time to, you know, sort yourself out and establish yourself, you know, in a division, unless you've got a lot of financial backing. And Glossop have never really been in that situation, you know. They've always done it with hard work of the people that come in as volunteers and, you know, the local town people, which, to be honest, they get, you know, quality, decent little crowds. And they have a couple of little derby matches, obviously, with the Tameside lads and Newmills just over at Thill.
Well, we are here for Manchester Premier Cup action, but we won't bore you with that, because obviously there's a lot of listeners here across the north of England who say this show is far too Manx-centric, so we're not going to give you a Manchester Premier Cup competition either for non-league football. We're not going to do that. We're going to talk instead about the Premier Cup competition in the world, the FA Cup. Third qualifying round was on Saturday, and some cracking results. And me and the commentated on one particular upset. I'm not going to be biased in any way, shape or form. I was a bit annoyed. But Witton Albion overcoming FC United. And if we ignore all the drama off the pitch and all the red cards and that kind of thing, Cal McCauley's side deserved the win, and it was an excellent performance from them on the pitch.
Yeah, my feelings were over the 90 minutes. Witten did deserve it, but I've got to say it like this. I feel that FC also lost it, if you can understand that terminology.
In more ways than one.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, you know, they let themselves down. You know, you can't expect to win a game, you know, with, is it three sending-offs?
Yeah.
And the manner of the sending-offs, they weren't even done for anything, you know, other than a little bit of silliness, you know, right down the line. Thing is, Witten are in the app, and all the best to them. And, you know, I hope they get a decent draw next round and represent the EvoStick League, you know, in a way that they have done in the past.
Well, I don't think it's that good a draw for Witten Albion. They've got Solihull Moors at home. It's not like the big National League side they probably wanted, but it is at home.
But it's a winnable game, isn't it?
They've beaten Spennymoor. They've beaten FC United to this stage. There's a good chance here for Witten Albion to go through to the first round proper.
Mm. Well, it's a winnable game, and you know, the big one's the one after, isn't it? The first round. So they've got everything to play for, and put those little bits of effort in as well to make sure they can get over the line. And let's hope that it's done in the right manner.
Also, Fearon, it felt like I was sending congratulatory texts to a lot of Liverpool managers over the last weekend. Brackley Town 2, Marine 3.
Tremendous
now,
result.
That. I think is one of the results of the round, certainly. Yeah. I know people have highlighted Dunstan. But that away from home at Brackley,
tremendous. You know, they've had a lot of hard times, haven't they? You know, Marine in the league fixtures. And to come out and to win that is absolutely tremendous. And what a great fixture they've got for the next round. I can't say that it's a winnable one, but what a great fixture
Why not?
That is.
Why not? If you get, you know... Marine, we've highlighted as the Premier non-league club in Liverpool.
Yeah.
And obviously there's a few upstarts below them now in the non-league pyramid. But everyone who loves non-league football in Liverpool should be at that game against Salford City.
Well, they'll love that because for one simple reason, the association with Big United, you know, at the end of the day. But I've got to say this, Salford are flying high. They've got everything going right for them, you know, on the pitch, off the pitch. The players that he's brought in. Graham Alexander are doing the stuff that, you know, they've come through a rack of fixtures and got excellent results home and away. So I think that's a real toughie, that one.
Also through to the fourth qualifying round, another Scouse manager, Paul Cardin's Warrington Town, beat AFC Telford United by 2-1. And dare I say this out loud, but they've got a great chance of getting through to the first round proper. I'm sorry to jinx it for Paul and Toby there. But at home to Halifax,
yeah,
there's a good chance there, I think.
There is a good chance, but again, you've got a team with an ex-professional reputation and following behind them in Halifax. And that counts for a lot. You know, you get a few thousand there cheering you on. It gives you the impetus and the will to want to go out and give that little bit of 10% more. Although I've got to say this, and I've always talked real plain, Warrington are flying high at this moment in time.
Yeah.
And they're in a similar sort of similar boat, should I say, without putting a new deal on them, as Salford City. You know, they're up there, they're pumping away, and they're getting good results and performances.
And how crucial is it that those... we'll talk about the other two ties in a second, but how crucial is it that Marine, Warrington and Witten are all at home against National League opposition?
I think that's one of the biggest advantages, to be honest. You know, it gives them that home support, although, you know, you've got three teams there that have decent following, you know, from the conference level of football. And I think it just maybe evens it up a little bit, you know, where the extra... shall we say, neutrals around those towns will come out to have a look at it.
Now, it wasn't all good in the third qualifying round. Commiserations to Hensford Town. Talk about Warrington and Salford flying high in their divisions. Kettering Town, it was always going to be a tough one for Hensford. 4-0 defeat there at Kettering Town. So commiserations to them. Gainsborough Trinity, a bit unlucky against Blyth Spartans. Blyth Spartans going to North Holme and beating them by 2-1.
Yeah.
And then there's Micklover Sports against Alverton. There was one time where we went, that's got upset written all over. It's a local derby. You know, John McGrath knows how to play nice football and stuff. But Micklover Sports just coming a bit short there. All the goals coming in the first half.
Do you know what,
half.
Micklover there are always an awkward team to play against, you know. I mean, we've took teams down there, you know, and of a night game on a Tuesday night, and God, you know, it's just out in the nowhere. You're just sort of driving along a road, and all of a sudden it appears there.
I like the press section. The fact it's basically it's a bench pitch side. I like that. Anyway, as we record this bit of the NPL show this week, there are two replays taking place. Sensational results for Step 4 sides. First, the Cleethorpes Town drawing 2-2 with Geisler. Obviously, Cleethorpes have to then go to Geisler. But they've got nothing to fear, I don't think, because Geisler have been blowing hot and cold all season. And
yeah, they have, but working class lads, you know, they've been doing the job all day. It's a lot easier for, shall we say, Yorkshire based lads to get to Geisler on.
Rather than Lincolnshire lads.
Yeah. Exactly. And Cleethorpes, you know, they've got a nice little setup, nice little team, and what have you. You know, they keep coming up with decent results and performances, but I just feel that I think Geisley will just have that little bit too much for them.
It's almost academic anyway, because if Cleethorpes do get through, they'll have to play Stourbridge, and we all know about Stourbridge in the FA Cup. Beat Kidderminster, didn't they?
Yeah, tremendous.
Blimey, Charlie. Also a great result, Kidsgrove Athletic going up to Workington on Saturday and drawing 0-0 with Workington.
Yeah.
That goes back to Staffordshire tonight.
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Is it tomorrow night? Is it Wednesday?
Yeah.
Sorry, I do apologise. Oh, yeah, it says so there, Roy. Well done. Great. So
that's why I'm a
yeah,
scout.
Well, we should go to that game together. So, yeah, Kids Grow Athletic is Workington. There's a chance there, isn't there? I mean, Workington are a few players short at the moment with some long-standing injuries.
Yeah.
It goes back to what you said about Cleethorpes travelling to West Yorkshire, except Workington are travelling a damn sight further.
Yeah, they are, and it's out on an elbow, isn't it? You know, where they actually play and reside. But
Kidsgrove are flying as well.
But Kidsgrove have had a belting start to the season. They've been up there in the top four or so, like, you know, yo-yoing up and down. And they seem to have a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of performance going on in there, you know, where they could hopefully come away with a nice little result for the Shambles. I think it'll be a really tight game, and with Workington possibly having a couple of players missing, that might give them a little bit of impetus to go out and do better.
And what an incentive. Hartlepool United away. This is one of the perks of how the National League is set up at the moment, with all these great league clubs, essentially.
Yeah. And What a nice ground that is, by the way, Hartlepool United. Yeah, tremendous venue to go to. A great day out for them. You know, they can start out early, have a nice little pre-match meal and what have you, and get the flavour for the FA Cup, hopefully for the next round, where they could possibly pick up a professional side again. Because, you know, Hartlepool at the end of the day are a professional side.
Yeah. And finally, Roy, because I don't think we'll talk before those fixtures on the 20th. How many teams are going through for the three fixtures we know about on Tuesday night? Who's going through?
This is a tight one, this.
Of course, you could bottle it, Roy, and say what I said last week on the weekly show and just say five, all five teams through, no problem at all.
I could possibly see two as well, but I wonder whether or not they're the same two as you.
Well, right, a big thank you for joining us. Thank you as well for your floodlight story.
It's no problem.
What non-league's about, isn't it? I mean, everyone goes, I think floodlights are taken for granted in a lot of non-league clubs, in football generally. But when you come to a non-league ground, the first thing you see in a lot of cases. So,
do you know what it is? It makes it feel professional, doesn't it? And I mean, the situation we found ourselves in was the floodlights didn't turn up when they should have turned up, right? So we ended up...
You didn't have your mobile phone back then, did you?
Yeah, well, no, we didn't, no. I had a walkie-talkie, I think. But, and we had this deadline day on the Monday, and they had to be... They arrived, everything arrived on the Friday, and we ended up Saturday and Sunday putting them up and erecting them and digging the trenches and everything and putting cables in. So it was close season, so I said to the lads, all the players, you know, they fancy coming down, and we'll get them up, because at the end of the day, you know, if we get them up, then we're promoted, because we was already in a promoted position in the league. Well, to cut a long story short, I was on the digger, JCB, never done it before in my life. I dug a trench that looked like snakes and ladders.
Can I just tell you, dear listener, and that's not what he said in his text message. he said, oh, I'm quite good with a JCB. Anyway.
I am now. Had all that practice, but we did it, and it was tremendous. You know, it was great effort by, you know, the players, the spectators, the volunteers, the people who lent us this, that, and the other. And, tremendous effort. This club, you know, holds a good little memory for me.
Well, Roy, a big thank you for joining us, and have a lovely evening. So, a big thank you to Glassop North End there. That was Roy Sewell on Tuesday night speaking to me about the FA Cup. And just to let everyone know, FC United won their third competitive game of the season in mid-October there against Glassop North End. So, through to the second round of the Manchester Premier Cup. But we're not here now to talk about the Manchester Premier Cup. We're here now to talk about the league, and we're back in the studio. And joining me now down the other end of the phone, we're now joined by the customary welcome return of Mr. James Hayes. Hello, James. How are they?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all good. So we're recording this bit on Wednesday. Unfortunately, on Tuesday evening, we touched upon it there, the FA Cup replay. Superb result in the first game in Lincolnshire on Saturday afternoon, but Cleethorpes couldn't repeat it. It was Geisler 2, Cleethorpes Town 1. Odi Yai getting the 76th-minute winner there for the National League North side. So commiserations to Cleethorpes Town, but a good effort nonetheless. And as we're recording this bit of the show,
Kidsgrove Athletic are literally going out onto the pitch now to host Workington in the third qualifying round replay. And we'll try and get some reaction from that game at full time. But for you listening in the future, that'll be in about, 10 minutes once we get rid of James. Anyway, James, welcome to the show. Just to talk about the league results, we have got Andrew Snaith coming on later as well from Whitby Town Radio. Actually, it's not called Whitby Town Radio anymore, is it? It's Yorkshire Coast Radio, isn't it?
Coast Radio, yeah.
Yeah, Coast Radio. And while we've all been distracted by the FA Cup, Scarborough's been busy. And on Saturday, it finished Stafford Rangers 1, Scarborough Athletic 3. And then midweek, Scarborough Athletic beat Stalybridge Celtic away from home by 3-2. So at the moment, Scarborough Athletic out in front, 1 point clear of Warrington. Warrington do have 2 games in hand, but Scarborough doing the deed there over the last couple of games.
Yeah, it's a away form that's really doing Scarborough all the favours at this moment in time. But the fact that they had to grind a result against Stalybridge as well last night, it wasn't an easy task for him. And they obviously, I think it was the last kick of the game, pretty much where they got the winner.
Well, let's hear now the post-match reaction from manager Steve Kittrick. Here he is speaking after that 3-2 win against Stalybridge.
Steve, great performance, great result.
Yeah, I thought we played really well tonight. But they're a good side and they'll take points off people. But we dug in and we kept going and you've just told me offline it was a definite handball. We can't see from here. But said to Kulo in there about the penalty. I said, "What are you? Your body language didn't tell me you were going to strike it right." He said, "I've never been as nervous in my life." So, yeah, he's had some big penalties in his time. But if that's if I didn't like Stalybridge, whatever it is, but but he said he was very, very nervous. But you know, it went in.
Yeah, so it's a big statement that, because obviously they're promotion chasers as well, aren't they? So to come here and win is a great result.
Yeah, we've had a good week, haven't we?
Yeah,
you know, we've had a good week altogether. So, got to push on now and fetch it in the Saturday against Bamber Bridge.
Yeah, obviously after the Nantwich defeat, you bounced back superbly. Now it's 3 wins, isn't it? And you're flying again now, aren't you?
Yeah, I just think you know the Nantwich thing. We know we didn't perform second half, and we've said that, haven't we? And we've said in how many games we've played? 13 now, is it? 12, 13?
Yeah.
12 games. We've been poor for 2 halves, you know, all that time. And if you'd be happy with that at the start of the season, wouldn't you? Still top at league, still, you know, we've got to keep pecking away and keep getting points on that table.
Yeah, is there more pressure on you now? Is it because you're there to be shot at? Or?
We're also there to shot at, aren't we?
Yeah.
You travel us around and you follow us around and you know everybody wants us as a scalp, and the teams that have beaten us, you know, anybody think they want a FA Cup, you know, or won promotion. You know, we are and Shields, you know, are probably the two scalps that everybody wants.
Mm. Yeah, quick word about the fans tonight. Yeah, absolutely.
Unbelievable again. Great. What, 150 here? You know, great travelling support. There's some teams, I was out there, and some teams don't even get that for their home games.
Mm.
So it's fantastic. Let's have the numbers Saturday against another good side, Bamber Bridge.
Yeah, Bamber, obviously a side we know well, don't we? Because you played them for the past few seasons. They've always troubled Scarborough in the past, so you'd be wanting to get one over them, won't you?
Yeah, I was going to see how he is, and I'll see Renault with his little tight suit on, his little tight suit, suit jacket. So we'll see how we go. You know, it's great today, isn't it? Great. You know, when you're winning and when you're doing well, you know, you don't take a lot of getting up for, do you? And, you know, we're there to be shot at. But we've got a game manager. I've just said now, if anything to say about tonight, we just got to manage the game a little bit better. When we get 2-1 up, making silly mistakes and stop doing what got us where we are. But, you know, we've got to chat about that. But fantastic performance.
Steve Kittrick there, manager at Scarborough Athletic, speaking with Martin Dowie there from Scarborough News. And a big thank you to Martin for that clip. And joining me now to talk about Scarborough Athletic more in depth now, we're now joined by the welcome return from Yorkshire Coast Radio. It's the wonderful, it's Ant Taylor. Hello, Ant, how's things?
It's great, Ben. Thanks for having me back again.
No problem at all. And we've got you back because it's pretty good at the moment at Scarborough, isn't it? I mean, it was good the last time we had you on, but it's particularly good at the moment. A good set of results there in the last 7 days or so.
Yeah, the view's looking good from up here. But, you know, you always got to be careful what's behind you. And, you know, we don't win the league in October, so there's still a lot of league to be played. So at the moment, it's good. But, you know, we got some really tough teams, even in October and coming up, you know, that we're playing. So it just see how it is.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, you're right, because obviously there was that Nantwich Town result a couple of weeks ago. And that goes to show you that the nature of those sides in mid-table and chasing the playoffs at the moment. Although saying that, the top two now seem to be stretching a bit clear, but Warrington do have games in hand. I mean, what do you make of the promotion race early doors?
It's looking competitive. I know you're saying Scarborough and Warrington are getting away, you know, away with it, but you know, you've still got the threat of South Shields coming up as well, and you know, even other teams in there, they're still, you know, clustered up there. And you know, when one wins, the other team will win. You know, someone will have a bad day, and it's going to be ever changing. You know, the landscape up until you know the end of the season before we can find out, you know, who's going to be determined winner or runner up and of the league. So you know, it is an ever changing landscape, and you know, after this weekend and then Tuesday night, it could all look so different again.
And you mentioned the games that you've got coming up. Obviously, Bamber Bridge on Saturday, Buxton on Tuesday. That's a game that stands out a mile, doesn't it? And then Lancaster away, a tricky game there at the Giant Axe next weekend. Coverage available via Yorkshire Coast Radio. What are you expecting?
Buxton, another tough team. A team I don't know much about. Lancaster. Me and Will, who we used to do radio last season, we were talking about it because when we've been there, we've never had a good result. So we're hoping that I'm not there. That might be, you know, something to spur them on to come away with 3 points. But they're all tough games. I know Lancaster have had not the greatest start, but they'll come back. And, you know, he starts their season, a launch pad. Oh, got Scarborough, let's do this. And they've probably been at work, the lads, the manager or whatever, and they're thinking about Saturday. Here it comes. Let's get 3 points. So it's always a big, you know, teams perform well against us, which is good because we get to learn how the team is. And if we need to make changes, we'll make changes. But there's one thing that Steve hasn't done this season. He's not made any drastic changes. I see some teams getting in some really good quality players in before the players and probably other teams as well. But we've stuck with what we've got. We have got a small squad at the moment. We've got a few injuries and, you know, a few knocks and bruises, but it's still the same basis of the squad, and I think that's what's doing it for us at the moment.
Well, Ant Taylor, at I Am Radio Ant on Twitter.
Thank you.
Just before you go, Ant, just a quick plug for Yorkshire Coast Radio. How could people tune in for these upcoming games?
Yeah, easy way to do it. You can just type in, it's any mobile phone, obviously check your data, we're getting a Wi-Fi spot, but just type in www.yorkshirecoastradio.com/extra. Or if you've got a smartphone and that, you can also download the Yorkshire Coast Radio app and get us from there. There's three sections on it now. Obviously, pick the Scarborough one. But, you know, if we're not playing, there's also Bridlington Town in the NCL and Whitby Town in, you know, they're somewhere in our league, somewhere down.
Just to be clear, we have got Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio coming up later in the show. So here on the MPL show, we like to keep things fair and balanced. But Ant Taylor, a big thank you for joining us, my friend. You have a lovely weekend and we'll be catching up soon.
Thank you very much, Ben.
So Scarborough in front. Warrington returned to league matters on Tuesday night following their cup exploits on Saturday. They beat Whitby Town by 1-0. More on Whitby later in the show with Andrew Snaith. But Warrington, they mean business this year, and it's not just the goal scoring, it's the defending as well. Just 3 goals conceded all season thus far in the league.
Yeah, none of them have been in the last 8 games either. 7 wins on the bounce now.
Now, there's a bit of a gap opened up all of a sudden between the top two and the rest of the division. Bayswater United got a point on Saturday, drawing with Lancaster City, which is a great point there for Lancaster City, their 6th of the season. But on Tuesday night, Gainsborough Trinity 3, Bayswater United 2. So Bayswater United are currently sitting in 3rd position, but they're 4 points behind Warrington Town and they played 3 games more. So a little bit of a gap's opened up there between Warrington Town and Scarborough and the rest of the division. South Shields, they're in 4th position. They played the same number of games as Warrington, but they're 5 points back. So it's looking like there's been a little mini breakaway over the last couple of days or so, James. But South Shields did win on Saturday. They beat Grantham Town by 5-0, which is a great result for South Shields.
Yeah, and again, that 5-0 has turned around completely. A couple of shot results, but again, losing against the teams off the top end and then just reverse it immediately.
Well, it's one of the results of the weekend, I think, including the FA Cup, that 5-0 win. Obviously, you know, it could have gone either way, but to win by 5-0 over Grantham with the way Grantham's been playing is a great result for South Shields. And after the match, Graham Fenton, one of the joint managers at South Shields, he caught up with the media. Let's hear what he had to say post-match.
So, Graham, I guess that was the perfect response again.
Yeah, really pleasing. Since Tuesday, we've obviously done a lot of talking. Training, we literally did nothing. We went out for 15, 20 minutes. Didn't do much at all. We spent most of the time, probably about an hour and a half, inside doing a lot of video work. Looking at different things and just addressing the issues we've had over the last few games. So, over the last few weeks, we've obviously been forced into different shapes due to personnel, injuries, stuff like that. And we just got back to what we know, what we've been doing well over the last couple of years, getting back to basics. Just showing, basically nailing down, especially for a few of the newer lads, their roles and responsibilities in the shape we played today. And we're delighted with the response. Every one of them thought made a massive contribution towards the win today.
You mentioned Thursday's meeting. How sort of important was that, you think, to sort of nail down certain roles and responsibilities for players?
Yeah, we generally do. You know, when we come off the back of a little mini poor run, it's good to get our heads together and address the problems, the issues we have, talk to people, try and get to the bottom of it. And the lads are always really responsive, you know. But the defeats we've had, the pleasing thing for us is it's not been for a lack of effort. We've obviously contributed at times through different things, you know, giving away poor goals, missed a couple of easy chances, what have you. And the results have been poor the last three games. So, yeah, it was good to get back to basics, get back to what we know, get back to just, again, getting the ball on the floor and moving them about. And I thought they really struggled to deal with us today.
Graham Fenton there, following that 5-0 win over Grantham, and a big thanks to South Shields TV for that clip there. But what a result that was at the weekend. So South Shields sitting in fourth position, 6 points off league leader Scarborough, but South Shields do have two games in hand. Buxton are also 6 points off the lead. They too also have two games in hand. On Tuesday evening, Buxton beat Grantham by 1-0. It's not been a good couple of results for Grantham, but good result there for Buxton. Sees them into the playoff positions.
Yeah, again, just as a point on the second ago, it's purely their away form that's let them down a little bit.
Nantwich Town are up to sixth position now. Also 6 points off the lead leaders, Scarborough, with two games in hand. Nantwich on Saturday got a great result, beating Farsley Celtic by 2-1. And they followed that up midweek with a great win at home to Hensford Town by 2-1 as well. So a great couple of results for Dave Cook's side. And following that win on Tuesday evening, guess what? Johnny Crowther went to a Nantwich Town match, everyone. It's good to have him back. Johnny Crowther caught up with manager at Nantwich Town. Here's Dave Cook.
So with Nantwich Town manager Dave Cook, it's finished Nantwich Town 2, Hensford Town 1. A game which, you know, over the 90 minutes, Dave, I think thoroughly deserved victory.
Yeah, I think we edged it, John. You know, we had a couple of chances at the end where we could have put the game to bed. But overall, I agree with you. You know, we deserve the victory.
You got yourselves ahead, played some really good football. I thought first 15, 20 minutes you came out flying. Really well taken goal by Linfield. Ball over the top there from Cookie. He did really well, yeah. Didn't need to get anything on it,
yeah.
And put you guys ahead. And then they come back into it, but, you know, probably won all at half time. Fair?
Yeah, I think, like you say, we were the better team for the first 15, and then they've come into it. We've given a poor goal away, and we have given poor goals away this year. And, you know, we went in at half-time and I said, look, if we step our game up, we will beat these tonight. You know, this is no disrespect to Hensford, because I know what Rob's teams are like and they will battle to the end, which they did do tonight. But if we could produce a little bit of quality, and that was which we did on the second goal, and that really, in the end, has won us the game.
Talking about that second goal, I totally agree with you. James Laurie, lovely ball played in, and I think it was Laurie into Linfield. Put it away, yeah. Really well. But good, intricate football as well from Nantwich Town.
I mean, we brought Craig back. I brought him back for today, just for the experience. We looked at it Saturday, and again, that was a gritty game, and to be fair, Farsley were better than us. And I just look for that experience tonight, and Craig's come back in. And look, he scored the two goals that have won us a game.
The work rate from the front to the back tonight was excellent, and that must, as a gaffer of the club, you know, that's must be really pleasing.
Yeah. I mean, young Joe Malkin, who's come from Northwest Counties 2 last year, and he'll chase a piece of paper down, and look, that was his, I think, his second full game, and he knows it's a learning curve. But one thing you will get off Joe, he will never stop working.
Unbeaten at home, yeah. Making this ground a bit of a fortress. Over 300 through the gates on a Tuesday night as well. That's pleasing. You know, crowd getting behind the team as well tonight. Good to see. But you know, you're making a statement. You were seventh before the game tonight. It's probably moved you up a little bit as well. It's going in the right direction, Dave.
Yeah, well, at this moment in time, but you know what football's like, John. But no, we've got a better team this year. We've got a stronger squad. The younger players, which you've already mentioned, they're getting better. You know, Jamie Morgans and Troy Bourne's, and they are, you know, they are getting better, more experienced. So hopefully, we'll finish in the top half.
And Micklover Saturday, what's the challenge there? What's the challenge you're going to get there, Dave?
Well, they've had a great win tonight. They've won at Witten 2-1. So, look, there's no team in this league, I don't think, that are pushovers. And if we're not on it, we'll get beat. It's as simple as that.
Dave Cook there speaking with friend of the show, Johnny Crowther. Stalybridge Celtic there also 6 points off league leader Scarborough, but they played the same number of games. That's 13 games played by both Stalybridge and Scarborough Athletic. We mentioned the 3-2 defeat to Scarborough for Stalybridge on Tuesday. They did get a win on Saturday, though, beating Northerby United away from home by 2-1. We mentioned the Gainsborough results. Obviously, Gainsborough up to 8th position following that 3-2 win over Basford. And then there's Farsley Celtic. We touched upon Farsley's defeat on Saturday, where they were beaten by Nantwich Town by 2-1. But they did bounce back on Tuesday night with a great result, beating Stafford Rangers by 3-1. Let's hear the post-match reaction now from manager at Farsley Celtic. Here's Adam Laitland.
3-1 win away from home, Adam. Got to be pleased with that.
Yeah, I'm absolutely delighted, especially for the players and the supporters who've travelled down here tonight. You know, it's a long way on a Tuesday night from Farsley, but I thought the players were unbelievable. I think that's one of the best, if not the best, certainly for 85 minutes, performances since I've been manager. I thought we were outstanding. Played exactly how we played on Saturday, to be fair. But the difference was that we got our noses in front, and we were clinical. We could have been more clinical, and I think we could have won by a bigger distance. But yeah, fantastic performance.
Any sort of key moments for you during the 90 minutes?
I think scoring first, really. They didn't really pose much of a threat all game. Once we got our noses in front, we knew they'd take a few extra chances. And we've got so much legs and energy and pace in the team that we knew we'd pick them off, that, you know, we thoroughly deserved to win the game by that margin, because I thought we were far the better team.
Type of game we've got to approach on Saturday against Buxton?
Very tough. Every game's tough. Every game's different. Buxton are a very good team. They've got plenty of pace in the side. Liam Hardy, the lads on the sides of the pitch are very quick. They counter-attack well, certainly away from home, and they've got good experience at the back, so it's going to be a very difficult game. I expect Buxton to be one of the teams that are up there at the end of the season, but you know, we should go into that game with confidence after the way that we played on Saturday and again tonight. Obviously tonight we've got our just rewards.
Adam Laitland there, and a big thank you to Farsley Celtic's media team for that clip. And in 10th position is Grantham, 2 defeats, as we've already touched upon, in the last 7 days. Bamber Bridge into 11th position. On Saturday, they were beaten by Whitby Town. Great result for Whitby, 2-1 at home there for Whitby Town against Bamber Bridge. Bamber Bridge bouncing back on Tuesday evening, beating North Ferriby United by 3-1. Whitby then, with that win on Saturday against Bamber Bridge, they're up to 12th position. Hensford Town have dropped down slightly to 13th position. Stafford Rangers have also dropped down to 14th. For Hyde United, on Saturday, Hyde United drew with Matlock Town 0-0. And speaking of Matlock Town have had a good set of results there. They drew 0-0 with Hyde, and then they followed that up on Tuesday night with a fine and could be crucial 3-1 win over Marine. So Matlock Town have got 4 points out of a possible 6 in the last 2 outings. Let's hear now the post-match thoughts from Tuesday night. Here's Dave Frecklington.
Your second home game, your first game, we've got points, now we've got all 3. How are you feeling?
Really pleased. Thought the boys really dug in today. It was a gritty performance. It wasn't so fluid, if I'm being honest with you. We struggled against the 10 men when they had the man sent off, but lots of hard work and determination. Concentration was key tonight, and going one behind early on in the game, they were the better side after the first 10-15 minutes, but the character that was shown tonight was really good, and it was important we got the 3 points, and that's all that mattered tonight, really. There's good competition there. They know they've got to fight for the place, and it's competition in the squad we need. And at the moment, we've gone from conceding 3 goals a game to 3 goals in 3 games, so that's been important. And to see the dodgy spell we had, 15 minutes in the second half, was all down to the back four and Ross Durant in goal. And we saw that dodgy spell out, and then we went on to score the third goal. Great finish from Marshy again, and could have won it 4-5 in the end. To win against teams in and around you, or take points off teams in and around, is massively important. And to get 7 points out of 9 in a week, this time last week we were bottom of the league on 4 points, minus whatever goal difference. We've got plus 5 goal difference in a week, 7 points in a week, and you're going to get little bits of nerves. Or let's not take away from Marine how good they were tonight, and they've been on the back of 1-9, I think, big result Brackley. So I wouldn't say you're not always going to play well. I thought Saturday we got the performance and not the win. Tonight we got the win, not the performance. So you can't get it all your own way.
Definitely not. Now going into this weekend, big game against current league leaders Warrington Town. They progressed in the FA Cup, I believe. They've won the last 6. Do you feel your lads are capable of going there and getting something?
Yeah, I believe Scarborough top, but Warrington are second.
Right, but I'll look at that later.
Yeah, but they've only conceded 3 goals all year, Warrington. Won again tonight. But I wouldn't write us off, that is for sure. We've got a real work ethic about us, a determination to do well. We've got good competition in the squad now. We've got a couple of injuries coming back. See how the boys are in training Thursday, and then take it from there. But just can't give enough credit to the squad, over the last week. 7 points in a real tough game. Every game's hard in this league, and Warrington will probably find that out on Saturday, that there is no easy games. Whether you're playing top of the league or bottom of the league, you've got to earn the points, and we're going there to get a positive result.
Dave Frecklington there, manager of Matlock Town, and a big thank you to Matlock Town's media team for that clip there. Good set of results there for Matlock, James.
Yeah, other than the Farza result, unbeaten at this moment in time too. Frecklington's turned them round massively.
Just a couple more results to bring you from this past week. Witten Albion couldn't continue the form from the Cup. They were beaten by Michelover Sports by 2-1. Michelover Sports obviously bouncing back from that Cup exit to Alfreton Town. But a good performance, as we said, from Michelover Sports on Saturday. But Michelover Sports there with could be a vital 3 points, the way the bottom end of the table's looking. Just to let you know how the bottom of the table's looking at the moment, North Ferriby United bottom, having played 14 games, they're on 6 points. Also on 6 points, but played 2 games less, is Lancaster City. And then there's Workington, who are tied up this evening in Cup replays. Workington currently on 9 points, so that's 3 points ahead of North Ferriby. They played 4 games less than North Ferriby. 3 points ahead of Lancaster. They played 2 games less than Lancaster. They're 2 points behind Matlock and have played 2 games less. So lots of games in hand for Workington. They've got to win those games in hand, of course. It's a little bit of a gap opening up between the rest of the league and Lancaster and North Ferriby, and I reckon they'll want to close that gap as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and winning the FA Cup tonight will do them wonders. They've not done anything on the road at this moment in time. They're getting the results at home, and again, Kyle Perry, as we mentioned last week going back, is a massive, massive signing for them. But they've got to start showing it on the night now. But the number of games they've got in hand, there's still plenty of time yet. I mean, there's still plenty of time for everyone talking about.
We're only 11 games in. We're only 11 games in, or 13 well, in some teams' cases. So a big thank you, James, for joining us. Just a quick plug for Non-League Day as well. That's taking place this weekend. Head over to evilstickleague.co.uk in the coming days. But lots of exciting stuff ahead at some of our clubs this Saturday, James.
Yeah, obviously we've only got a handful of clubs that I've mentioned what the plans are for the day at this moment in time. There's loads getting involved. I'm still waiting. The corner just literally sent theirs in to me. We're in the last 20 seconds of recording as well. So keep an eye on the Evil City League page. But again, it's all in aid of prostate cancer research and Non-League Day as well. Information on how to get a badge and donate all on the social media and on the website.
Got some tired legs out there now. Well, Kidsgrove still have one substitute to bring on if they need to, and Workington have two substitutes to bring on. It'll be interesting to see if those substitutions are made with the penalties in mind. This is Saxon, kept in, moving down this near line. Pulls in field, though. Keeps possession, still going forward, still running. This is Rumeneo. Rumeneo!
Oh, what a goal. And Saxon seemed as though he'd run out of space, didn't he? He showed all the energy in the world to get into that position, but he put the ball forward. The Kidsgrove player was completely unmarked, and Rumeneo made no mistake whatsoever. Taylor had no chance in the goal, and it's 2-1 to Kidsgrove. They've turned the game round.
So, what an evening that was on Wednesday night in Kidsgrove. Moorlands Radio and Tony Wally there bringing you coverage of one of the upsets of the round. Kidsgrove Athletic 2, Workington 1. And joining me now from Moorlands Radio, it's a welcome to the show to Tony Wally. Hello, Tony. How's things?
Oh, it's great, Ben. Thanks very much. Thanks for having us on.
I've described it as an upset, but to be fair, you put the shift in on Saturday afternoon up in Cumbria. I mean, what a performance, though, put in there?
It was a game with very, very few chances on Saturday, by all accounts. I wasn't there myself, but we had people there watching, and it was a very, very tedious affair. In fact, I think one of the local media guys had said that I don't think that any goalkeeper was tested properly over the 90 minutes. So it was a very cagey affair, and we knew, because the game had got to be concluded last night, we knew that something would have to give. But it didn't give until into the second half, and that's when the game got really interesting.
And the goal on 100 minutes, 10 minutes into extra time, was that a special goal? Not just for the
well,
actual...
It was just the way it was, the build-up, really, because it was Will Saxon, a substitute, and a lad that I've heard a lot about, and people have been, you know, waxing lyrical about. And it was the first time I've really had good eyes on the guy. And he picked the ball up on the inside right channel, and he went on this amazing run, brought the ball inside, beat a couple of players. And then for whatever reason, Workington just seemed to stand off him. And he managed to poke the ball through to Rumeneo, who got his back to sort of goal, run on, and just put it right in the centre of the goal. He'd give the goalkeeper the eyes. You could see the goalkeeper go, and then Rumeneo just put the ball in the net. And, you know, then it was a case of can Kidsgrove hole out for the win? And, you know, it was, you know, they were taking the ball into the corners. They were trying to wind the clock down. They were doing all the things that they should be doing. Having said that, Workington, to their enormous credit, never gave up hope. And really try to mount wave after wave of attacks. But Kidsgrove stood absolutely resolute against those attacks. And when the final whistle went, well the scenes, I mean, normally Kidsgrove will get, you know, around about 150. There was 450 or so inside the ground, plus a load of media. And the crowd just absolutely went berserk. And it was a lovely moment on the final whistle, where the chairman, Michael Fitzjohn, and two directors, Ian Cooper and Janet Cooper, just ran onto the pitch, and they celebrated as a club, as one. And you know, for a tough woman, and she is a tough woman, Jan Cooper, you know, she floods her tears, because that's what it means to these clubs. I mean, you know, let's not beat around the bush. You know, Northern Premier League side is going to win the FA Cup, and to all of these sides at this level, it's about getting as close to the holy grail of the first round proper that you can get, because of the financial rewards that comes along with that. And you know, that tie against Hartlepool United a week on Saturday, which is going to be covered live on Mullins Radio Sports, is a fantastic tie for a club like Kisgrove Athletic.
I mean, we will. We caught up, obviously, with Ryan Austin last week about this Workington match, and obviously next week we'll have Ryan back on to talk about the Hartlepool match, because as I was discussing earlier with Roy on the show, that game, I mean, it's one of the perks of the makeup of National League at the moment. You do get to play against, essentially, let's be honest, league clubs in the fourth qualifying round, and this is what are you hoping for from Kisgrove?
I'm going to be totally honest. You know, I mean, we cover two clubs, Leek Town and Kisgrove Athletic. I've seen a change, a real change, at the way that Kisgrove are operating this season. Ryan Austin, I think, by his own admission, would have been disappointed with last season. They made some changes. There was a bit of a clear out in the summer. Ryan Austin knew exactly the sort of players that he needed to bring in. And what the marked difference is this year, Ben, is the team spirit, because there is a real togetherness. So realistically, what can Kisgrove expect from a tie against Hartlepool United? They won't be given much chance by anybody, and anybody in the right mind wouldn't give them much of a chance on paper. But I think they've got enough in their locker to bring Hartlepool back to the Novum. And I think that's my sort of, if there's going to be a glorious outcome for Kisgrove, it's going to be a replay.
And as you touched upon there, Tony, Mullins Radio doesn't just cover Kisgrove, also covers Leek. A great broadcaster when it comes to non-league football in Staffordshire. How could people tune in?
Well, basically, if you're in the area around Staffordshire, it's 103.7. If you're not, then it's just mullinsradio.co.uk. On the Saturday broadcast, which is broadcast on FM, it's also playing out online when we do our midweek sports specials. And we don't just cover the two clubs, we're committed to covering non-league football and as much of it as we can. We're fortunate that we've got some great equipment, some great people around. So our midweek sports specials go out on our designated sports player on the Mullins Radio website. You just click onto the website, there's a big banner there saying midweek sports special, what the game is, and you click on that link and it goes straight to our designated sports player. And people have been tuning in their hundreds, and for that we're eternally grateful. You make two old commentators very happy.
Tony Wally there from Mullins Radio. What a result that was for Kisgrove on Wednesday evening through to the fourth qualifying round of this season's FA Cup, where they'll be taking on Hartlepool United, and we'll have more on that next week. Obviously, Hartlepool in the North East, and joining me now, not far from the North East, North Yorkshire, it's the welcome return from Yorkshire Coast Radio of the marvellous Mr. Andrew Snaith. Hello, Andy, how's things?
Hiya, Ben. Not too bad at all, thank you. Excellent segue as well.
No problem at all. And I should say, I never really thanked James Hayes earlier. So a big thanks to James Hayes for walking us through Saturday's and Tuesday's results. We have got a fixture preview coming your way right this very second. But while we're talking about FA competitions, the FA Trophy preliminary round ties are taking place on Saturday. I'm not going to read them out because we're short of time. But visit evostickleague.co.uk and visit the fixture section. Loads of fixtures, and a big good luck to all our sides in the FA Trophy preliminary round this weekend. It's also non-league day as well, so loads of activities taking place. Check Twitter, check Facebook, check your club website, but loads of stuff taking place. I've done all the housekeeping there, I think, and all the parish notices. So let's get back to the Premier Division of the NPL. Loads of games taking place this weekend. We'll get to the big game between Marine and Whitby Town shortly. But Andy, how is Whitby at the moment?
It's a mixed bag this season. Started extremely well with three wins on the bounce, and then sort of settled into a slightly more familiar routine, and now we're mid-table in 12th, which, to be fair, after a recent last season, we're not too unhappy with. Yeah, it's been a fairly mixed start, I think it's probably fair to say.
But a much better start, like you say, and we'll get to that trip to Marine shortly. But let's... I hate to do this to you now. I've never had this with you before, that you've got a local rival. I've normally just taken it for granted that you love everybody, but yeah. Anyway, top of the table.
We're not used to it either, Ben, to be fair.
Top of the table is Scarborough Athletic hosting Bamber Bridge. We obviously had the post-match thoughts of Steve Kittrick from Tuesday night. Scarborough Athletic have got a bit of a skip in the step at the moment. Bamber Bridge got a win midweek, but what do you think for this game?
Strange one, actually. I mean, obviously, we've played both sides so far. Bamber Bridge most recently last week. I wasn't sure what to make of them, really. Our manager was quite impressed by them. Their style of football was good. And then Alistair Wadakar, I mean, they've got a terrific goal scorer and somebody who scores spectacular goals as well. But most of their play comes through him. And it showed. He was head and shoulders above most people on the field last Saturday, despite the fact that they didn't come away with a result, despite hitting the woodwork a couple of times. So I was moderately impressed by them. But I feel that they've kind of got a back line that always gives you a chance. They play quite an open game. It should be a terrific game. I mean, we know the attacking options that Scarborough have. I mean, they're top of the league. It's quite a formidable place to go as well. So it'd be a big challenge for Bamber Bridge, but they do have some attacking prowess.
As you said, league leaders by 1 point only. Warrington Town, they're the ones who've got the games in hand, two games in hand at the moment. They're hosting Matlock Town this weekend. Matlock got a good result midweek, didn't they? We heard from Dave Frecklinson earlier following that 3-1 win against Marine. For Warrington, Warrington are just being Warrington on a great cup run, second in the league. It feels like, unlike previous seasons where you go, are you going to have a cup run or the league? It looks like Warrington are capable of doing both this season.
They're terrific and held together by that brilliant back line. You know, three goals conceded in 11 games. They're just so well organised, so strong there. I mean, to be fair, it was a couple of very strange games from a Whitby perspective, those last two games. Bamber Bridge, you could argue, would be very fortunate to come away with a 2-1 win. Warrington, we peppered them for 90 minutes and lost 1-0. So it's a strange one, but I guess you'd almost say, cliche though it is, it is the sign of a quality side that they can be on the back foot for 90 minutes and still come away with a win. And maybe Warrington are going to be one of those sides. And they've also got a couple of games in hand, which will be ominous for Scarborough.
And then there's a gap already after 11 matches, 4 points down to the next set of teams. Leading that pack at the moment is Basford United, who played more games than anyone else in the division. They've played 14 games thus far, which is three more than Warrington, one more than Scarborough Athletic. Basford are taking on Stalybridge Celtic this weekend, and heading into this game, Stalybridge in seventh on 21 points with a posse of teams there just outside the playoffs. Basford United have played 14, won 7, drawn 1, lost 6, scored 31, conceded 22, which is almost the worst defence in the league. Not far off, but the best scoring record in the league. What fun they are.
You look at the artificial pitch and you think that must have a bearing, mustn't it, on these results. They've won 6 games at home and just lost 1. Away from home, almost a complete reverse. They've won 1 and lost 5. So they'll be very pleased that they're at home on Saturday. I got a first trip to Basford recently, Ben. I was very impressed with the setup. They've got a number of junior pitches. They've got a real community feel to them. And I wish them luck. But yes, it's quite bizarre that the marked difference in the results home and away.
South Shields this weekend, though, travelling to Hensford Town, who'll be looking to bounce back from a couple of bad results against Kettering and against Nantwich midweek.
Yeah, absolutely. Shields, another team with contrasting records home and away. 100% at home, just 2 wins out of 6 on the travels. That might be just a geographical thing, that the furthest north side, and it's maybe all those miles on the road that are affecting them. And maybe also allied to the fact that, like Scarborough, they get big gates, big noisy partisan crowd, and that's buoying them at home.
Buxton are travelling to Farsley, and that seems like a big game as well.
Absolutely right, yeah. Two sides that featured up at the business end last season, and in and around again this time around. Farsley, you mentioned that Basford have played the most games. Farsley are one of those that have played the least, so they've got matches to catch up with. They're always a dangerous opponent. Be interesting to see how that one goes.
Obviously as well, Nantwich Town, what a result that was midweek against Hensford. Nantwich Town are travelling to Michelova Sports. Michelova Sports very, very unlucky against Alfreton Town on Saturday. Nantwich have had a great start to the season, haven't they? And dark horses, I'm going to say dark horses.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly fair, Ben. They're another side that maybe needs to improve on more travels. Just one win so far from four games, but then that one win was at Scarborough. So they've got the quality there. I've been impressed by Nantwich, doing well in the Cups as well. Formidable side. When they're on their day, they can absolutely crush teams, as they did to Whitby sadly a few weeks back. They're capable of taking teams apart. They are a dangerous side.
Now, Gainsborough have fallen out of the playoff positions in recent weeks, but that's because they do have games in hand. I mean, they're only 1 point behind South Shields, Buxton, Nantwich, and they've got games in hand over all three of those sides. This weekend, Gainsborough travelled to Hyde United, and, you know, we talk about the start Scarborough have made, the start Basford have made. Even Bamber Bridge have had a better start than Hyde United. I mean, is that surprising?
Yeah, I think it is, actually. I felt like Hyde had a lot of momentum going towards the end of last season as they came up. But it hasn't quite worked out for them for whatever reason this time around. But still very, very early days.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. where should we go to next? Let's go to Grantham Town, are hosting Lancaster City. A couple of sluggish results from Grantham of late. I mean, they did have to travel to South Shields on Saturday, admittedly. What do you think for this one? I mean, Lancaster, a bit of a banana skin, maybe?
Possibly, yeah. Maybe Lancaster are very slowly starting to turn things around, but obviously still second bottom at the moment. Still looking for that first home win and still looking for only a second away win and trying to do that at Grantham. I mean, that's it's usually a fortress over there in Lincolnshire. They've done well of late. They're always a dangerous side, but yeah, a couple of surprise results. They obviously had the shock defeat in the FA Cup as well. But I think that they've been very keen to point out it's still a young side. It's a side in progress and maybe a little bit of a departure from how previous regimes have set up. Grantham actually plays some terrific football now. They're a very good attacking side and a good side to watch. So a bit of a work in progress, but quite an exciting one.
And just a couple more matches to talk about. Workington against Witton Albion. Witton, obviously, a great result last week against FC United, which a result we're never going to mention ever again. Workington, as we said at the start of this interview, Andrew, they slipped up against Kidsgrove. It's not been the best of starts of season. They have got injuries hanging over from last season, but it's getting to the stage where they need to get some wins on the board quickly.
Absolutely, but you know they're at home, so they'll be fine. It's on the travels where the problems have been. Witten, a funny sort of side. Not really sure what to make of them so far this season. They could be dangerous opponents, but they're a little bit inconsistent, I suppose, a little like Whitby. So a tough one to call, but you'd fancy Workington on a home turf.
Also, with a need for wins quickly, is Northumberland United. They're hosting Stafford Rangers.
Long way to go as well, cross country over to Humberside, East Yorkshire. I think Ferriby will have a chance, but they do need to start putting these results together. I mean, we've seen so many teams drop down from Conference North. Obviously, it happened to Hyde through the Premier Division to the First, and they'll be concerned.
And on Saturday morning, we're blessed now. I mean, it was only last season, there was just me and you, Andy, really, covering non-league football. But now it seems like we're blessed by loads of radio stations. evostickleague.co.uk, have a look on there for the latest on Saturday morning for which radio stations are covering which football matches. It's cracking stuff at this level of the game, bringing vital exposure. And that then leads me, segue central, onto the final game of this preview, Marine against Whitby Town. Live on Yorkshire Coast Radio, Mr. Snaith, what are you hoping for and what are you expecting?
Well, just first of all, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's great to see all these different radio stations, some online, some on FM, if they're fortunate enough. But yeah, I remember it wasn't that long ago. It was just Charlie and FC United Radio who I had to call upon for assistance with setting up the old Whitby Town Radio, sadly no longer. But yeah, looking forward to this one. We always enjoy our trips over to Rossett Park. Even though it is a long journey. Marine with a terrific FA Cup run, but they're going to have to start putting some points together in the league. Hopefully that won't start on Saturday from a Whitby perspective. But looking forward to it. Whitby, God alone knows what they'll produce. Surely one of the most inconsistent sides in the league. On the day, capable of beating anybody, I feel, but also capable of possibly losing to anyone as well if it's not going well for them.
And how could people tune in, and where could people tune in?
Online, yorkshirecoastradio.com/extra. If you have a choice of feeds there, also carrying, as you mentioned earlier on, the Scarborough Athletic game, Bridlington Town also in the FA Vars, and if you click the Whitby feed, then you'll be able to listen in to Marine Whitby Town with myself and Paul Connolly.
And a big thank you to Andrew Snaith from Yorkshire Coast Radio for joining us on this week's show. And that is the end for this week's EvoStick NPL show. So many people to thank this week. A big thank you to all my guests for joining me this week. Also, a special thanks to our hosts early in the show, Glossop North End, the media teams at Matlock, Farsley Celtic and South Shields, Scarborough News, of course, the wonderful Johnny Crowther and Moorlands Radio for providing us access to their wonderful non-league content this week. But that's it for this week's EvoStick NPL show. A big good luck to everyone on non-league day this weekend, and a special good luck as well to everyone in FA Trophy action. We hope you all make it through to the next round. EvoStickLeague.co.uk for all the latest news from the world of the Northern Premier League. And while you're on the internet, don't forget to look up the show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. But I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your EvoStick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.